We talk about bias in the media, and it doesn't matter to me whether you believe in that or not, whether you like Fox, whether you like CNN. I don't care where you fall. What I care about and what you should care about is what happens when we no longer have a local source for truth in journalism, when that's gone, when there's a void for what matters locally. Jay Allred is my guest on Purpose Under Pressure. Next. The heat is on. Let's get cooking. This is Purpose Under Pressure, sharing stories of why we're here and how we fight to make that purpose come through. And if you like the show enough to listen, if you hear and you've heard it a few times, you've watched it a couple, please subscribe, hit the follow button, maybe leave us a rating, tell a friend. It's just really important to me and to maybe somebody out there that doesn't know this show exists that needs to hear it. That's dealing with some pressures of their own. That's how we get this around. That's how we get the word out. And so any help that you can be there is greatly appreciated. So thank you very much. Purpose Under Pressure is brought to you in partnership with Sandler by the Ruby Group, serving sales professionals nationwide from their Akron, Columbus, Ohio locations, also Jacksonville, Florida. Selling the right way. That's what I keep having to say, is an art. And it's not just about income and revenue and goals. It affects your brand. It affects how your customers think about you. You should train your sales team to do it the right way and on purpose with Sandler by the Ruby Group. Check them out online at therubygroup.sandler.com. And so today I'm interested as in this show as much as maybe any I've been interested in. A lot of you folks know that I have a radio background, and so that is broadcasting and that is getting the word out. And I love the local part, and I left radio when it became less local. I wanted to do things local, support local business, do things the right way for my community. Newspapers the same way. And newspaper has changed as well, as we all know, as social media has come and all these different things that are happening. And so we're going to talk today about that side of things, a story I'm very familiar with and a story that's full of pressure. Jay Allred, CEO of Source Media Properties, which includes three local news sites, the Richland Source, Ashland Source, and Knox Pages. We'll talk about that. He also is CEO of Source Brand Solutions, which is a marketing arm, and Lead, which is a startup artificial intelligence service for the local news industries. He is creating things that we need on a local basis in a new world. Welcome to the show, Jay Allred. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Brian. I'm really glad to be here, and I'm excited for our conversation.
I am too. I've been looking forward to this for a long time because, like I said, you are going through the same things that I've gone through in the past, and I took a different route out, and you are sticking in with the fight, and I'm really excited to hear about that. So talk to me a little bit about purpose. What are you trying to do? What are you so proud of with your organizations and with your companies? What's going well that you are saying, man, I am glad I did this? Talk about that a little bit.
I think to understand why we're here and what our purpose is, I think it's crucial to try to understand our definition of the problem that we're trying to solve. And the problem that we're trying to solve is pretty simple. And that is that legacy local news in America, and when I say legacy, I mean the kind of traditional local news rooms and local news organizations that our fathers and mothers and aunts and uncles remember, they are dying at an alarming rate across the country. Over 4,000 local news sites are no longer in existence in just the last 10 years. There are 50% fewer local journalists working across the country than there were a decade ago. Almost 50% of the country, when you look at their access to a reliable, trusted local newsroom, almost 50% of the country lives in what's called a news desert. A news desert is a place where either there is no local news or there's a danger that local news, trusted local news, might go away. It is a bad situation. And the only thing that's at stake is democracy.
50% of the population of the United States lives where there is no access to local news?
Either no access to local news or that access is in danger.
Tell me a little bit about what you just said. The only thing at stake is democracy. My question is, what's the problem? Hey, things change. So we don't have local news anymore. So what? But you're saying that this is a big problem.
Well, yeah. And I think that it's important to understand the difference between what many Americans think of as the media and what it means to work in a local newsroom. the only thing that Americans seem to have in common right now is that they hate the media. The difference is they just hate different kinds of it. So depending on who you vote for on a national level, you probably are not too entranced with Fox News, or you think MSNBC is a dumpster fire. And then you move on down, you move across the national outlets and you have opinions about those things. But the commonality is that we think as Americans broadly that the media, quote, air quotes, is not very trustworthy. And survey after survey after survey bears that out. Where those numbers start to diverge, though, is when the closer that you get to home. Almost twice as many or more Americans trust local media than they trust national media. They trust the people that they see at church and that they run into in the grocery store. In fact, one recent comprehensive survey from the Knight Foundation found that people trust their local newsroom more than they trust their relatives in terms of being able to deliver facts to them that they can believe are accurate. And I think we all have that crazy uncle that has lost himself, or crazy aunt that have lost themselves in a news vortex of, regardless of what their political affiliation is, that just feels like they don't have their facts straight. The more Americans trust local newsrooms than they trust some of their relatives. So it tells us a lot about the fact that we need to be thinking about what has happened at the national level and the fact that we feel bad about what is going on with our media at the national level and that we have a hard time parsing through what we should trust. There's a whole other set of podcasts about that, but I think we really need to be concerned that what we don't want to have happen is for what's gone on at the national level to happen at the local level. You can see that also with government and with all kinds of other things. There's things happening at the local level that are working, yeah, and that are still working. But when you get to the news industry, that the traditional legacy local news industry that was a paper that was delivered to your door or a radio broadcast that you dialed in on a particular frequency, those linear or traditional media outlets are under tremendous pressure right now and have had to make really difficult decisions around their staffing and what they're able to do for their communities. And it's had an impact
at the local level. And I've always thought, and I've argued with a couple of people about this, the national level, you talk about trust. I see, I'm in marketing and I've been in sales for too long to trust anything anymore. So I don't trust any of those stations that you mentioned because I know that advertising dollars support that and it's big, big business. And I know that the only way they're going to get the number of viewers that they need or listeners or readers is to print whatever their audience wants to hear. Therein is the risk to democracy because you've got big organizations printing maybe not always the truth based on I don't believe there can be non-biased big media because they have to make money. So that's my little problem with national. Now I'm interested in this follow-up question with after I get off my soapbox there.
Oh.
That's what's wrong in democracy to me. Why should I trust local?
I think that the difference, I think you really hit on something here. The principal incentive for an organization like Fox News or MSNBC, particularly because they're in the attention business, is to make you feel something. Mm-hmm. Their objective, and it doesn't really matter what you feel as long as you stay tuned in.
As long as you stick in and come back.
They can make you angry. They can allow you to drift into a warm bath of your own biases. They can make you feel comfortable. But the objective is to make you feel something, because if you feel something, they have your attention. And if they have your attention, they can sell your attention to other people.
Very similar to entertainment.
Social media, you know, social media platforms are the same way, right? It's the attention economy. Hmm. And the attention economy works really, really well at scale. if you have hundreds of millions of people that you get to talk to, now you have something valuable that advertisers want to buy. And I want to be really clear. I don't have any real bone to pick with the attention economy. It is what it is. We're a big country. We're a big world. But its incentives, being clear about what Fox News and MSNBC's incentive structures are, helps us understand why they make the decisions that they make. It helps us understand why opinion shows look like news shows and they run during prime time. It's because they're more likely to keep your attention. Mm-hmm. An argument is more likely to keep your attention than a report on, the unemployment statistics for that day. When you narrow this thing down to local media, the principal difference is there's no audience to scale to. I have a team of 20 people that is serving an audience of 250,000 over the course of three counties. That's not a big enough audience to operate in a purely attention-driven economy. Or if I wanted to do that, which I guess I could, what you would need to do then is only report on the things that are going to drive the most attention. So you would follow every accident. You would do lurid and exploitative reporting on crime and justice. You would make fun of people who had a drunk driving accident, and you would list them, and there would be mugshot galleries. And I would be able to do all kinds of things that sort of exploited the misfortunes of my community, because I know that that will drive attention.
That's right.
We've chosen not to go that direction.
I know. Thank you.
And the reason, and many, 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 many hundreds of local news organizations that are like us, because this is the category that we're in, independently owned, community focused, locally driven news organizations, is the only category of news organizations in America that is growing. It's the only category. Everything else is shrinking, but independent, community focused news organizations like The Source are growing. In fact, it could be argued, depending on how your viewpoint of exploding is, it's approaching that kind of number. It's doubled in the last 3 or 4 years.
Really?
It's replacing or supplanting declining legacy organizations all over the country.
Such as newspapers, print, those kinds of things. Is that what you mean?
For example, in Cleveland, the Plain Dealer has famously struggled. A nonprofit organization called Signal Ohio, which is funded by a group called the American Journalism Project. They're all purely nonprofit. They've spun up Signal Cleveland as a community-funded organization that's covering the Cleveland and its suburbs. That has been followed up shortly thereafter, just a few months ago, with the launch of Signal Akron. And there are more Signal news sites that are coming to major cities in Ohio. The Baltimore Banner is a prominent nonprofit newsroom that is serving the Baltimore area, substituting in for the depleted Baltimore Sun.
So they're filling the void.
Yeah. And it's coming from all kinds of different sectors, for-profit, nonprofit, large, small, one-man shops, mom and pops, big funded organizations. There's a tremendous amount of experimentation in the space right now.
So let's talk about that now. So the void is there. The experimentation is happening. What are the pressures that are getting in the way? Is it developing the platform? Is it getting buy-in from the audience? What do you go through every day to try to make this work and gain some traction?
I think the principal pressure around local news businesses right now is that they're not yet a repeatable small business. Like, we have not yet proven that local news is a good small business to be in. There used to be a model. You had a printing press, you delivered a newspaper, you owned the vast majority of the marketplace, because there were huge barriers to entry. I mean, not just anybody could buy a printing press. Mm-hmm. So once you were there, you really had a moat around your business. It was very protected. There was a single channel that began to be disrupted by television and radio, you know, this decades ago. What it is right now is just figuring out what is community focused news going to look like. And I think that's the principal pressure. We're in that phase right now where there's a tremendous amount of excitement and experimentation, but we have not yet settled as a country on how we think about the value of local news and how we're going to fund it. We're still struggling with sort of a belief that, well, just sell enough advertising and it'll all make it work. That model, which worked for my dad and my dad's predecessors in this business, doesn't work anymore. And you have to have a varied revenue mix. And that is really difficult to duplicate at scale, because the very thing that makes a local news organization relevant and valued by its community is that it feels like its community. And every community in America is different, and they have different needs, and they have different character, and you really can't McDonald's an effective local newsroom. It's very difficult. Well,
that's what happened. That's what happened in radio when the big corporations came in and bought out all of the small agencies or small stations and tried to force their own programming in locally just by changing the name. By the way, this is W whatever. It just didn't work. No one cared. And they found that they found that out the hard way. I'm interested in what you've learned. So you've been at this for a while. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering what mistakes you've made or what you thought was going to work that didn't work and what you are now doing because you've learned that and now you're taking a better step. Is that a fair question?
Oh yeah, for sure. So many mistakes. I think probably one of the principal ones was that when we started the business a decade ago, I think that we trust and how much work that was going to be. You're familiar with our work, and so you know how much effort that we put in to being good corporate citizens and to being forward and involved in our community. That takes time though. And I think we overestimated how fast our websites would grow and how fast we would build audience. I think we also underestimated how important a radically diverse revenue stream was going to be. We've learned over time that in this particular business, there is no such thing as too diverse a revenue stream.
What does that mean?
It means that you used to be able to, and in some cases there are still communities that do this, where you might print a free newspaper that was delivered to all the homes and it was purely advertising supported. So your revenue stream was pure advertising.
Yep.
You specialized in kind of news you can use and press releases and the kinds of things that were not real reporting. You're not doing any real journalism there, but you're giving people information, and that's valuable and it's important. But to do the kind of work that we do, which is, you know, enterprise journalism, investigative journalism, solutions journalism. Last year, we wrote almost 3,400 byline stories, or an average of 9 stories a day across 3 counties that were written by human beings and reported by human beings. To do that kind of work, you need a combination of corporate partnerships, advertising, agency work, subscriptions, memberships, competitive philanthropy. You've got to go after a very diverse revenue pie in order to make it, in order to make enough money to make the work, to make the enterprise work, and also to create mitigating factors for when advertising takes a downturn, or when you lose a grant, or you know, these things happen in business. And so I think one of the things that we realized very early on was we want to pay attention to revenue from the very beginning, and we want to pay attention to a very diverse revenue stream from the very beginning.
And so as you've done that, so there's employees, you have 20 of them, mm-hmm. I think you said. There are advertisers, mm-hmm. sponsors, and there are members, mm-hmm. memberships or supporters. I'm interested, a strange question, but I'm interested in the different generations and what people care about. And I feel like today's which generation are we in now? Y or Z or O?
I think it's Z. My daughter's
so Generation Z. Are you finding that they and the advertising base and your employees and everybody is kind of caring about the mission more than the past? Like, you might have some traction here. The way I'm trying to ask this is that, do your advertisers buy into what you're trying to do, or do they just want exposure? Do your members buy into what they're trying to do, or are they just being nice? And do your employees buy into the purpose, or do they just want the paycheck?
I think I want to reverse that. We're a very mission and values driven organization. One of the things that we did right from the very beginning was, within months after founding the organization, when the only people that were reading it were like my parents and people I knew, we sat down with the founding team and we set up a set of core values, and we understood what we were going to do, and we understood what was important to us. Look for solutions, try, learn, and repeat, have fun, stand for North Central Ohio, tell great stories, deliver on promises. We knew what was important to us. And as we built the organization in its first years, it was much harder, because we were a risk to hire people. We needed people to believe in the mission in order to take the risk to come and work for us, because we were really, truly a startup. Having those values early on, understanding that in the midst of not knowing how we were going to deliver on those values, those were going to be what we were delivering on, allowed us to be very clear about the message that we were delivering to our advertisers, to our corporate partners, to our readers, to our newsroom, to our account executives. We knew what we were about very, very early on. We were committed to that. We were willing to fail and go down in flames if the community did not respond to that, or if they told us that, nah, we don't want that.
That's not what they wanted, right?
That really helped us, was to be really clear, because what it did, Brian, was it removed asking the big questions up front about what you care about, removed a lot of questions down board. Should we cover this story? Should we partner with this organization? Should we, for example, in Richland Source, we have never run an arrest report for misdemeanors. We don't run police reports.
Right.
It's not because we don't love the police. We do. But it was, we just don't feel like that's the right way for us to show up for our community. There's other ways to get that information, and spending time there prevents us from spending time on the 94% of the people in Richland County that are not involved in the criminal justice system. So it helped us figure out what we wanted to do. Having that strong sense of values led us to solutions journalism.
One of the biggest problems we have as managers and leaders is sometimes we're not focusing on leading, and we end up doing it for our sales team. How do we coach our people to help them figure out what self-limiting belief that they have that's holding them back from achieving the levels of success that they know they're capable of? Help them flush out what we call their own head trash, that thing that's holding them back. So work with your team, lead by example. Watch your team achieve greater levels of success, and watch your team grow, and more importantly, watch your company and your business grow.
Yes.
because it
fits. You know, you're a pioneer in solutions journalism. I'm interested. You've got the 20 employees and all the sponsors, and the you've said it yourself, the fate of democracy on your shoulders. And I like that. Do you ever go to bed wondering whether it's going to work?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Because this is what's that like? Because that's a lot of pressure.
This is a difficult business to be in. No one is going to buy a private jet or an island off the coast of wherever, being in the local news business at this point. You're in this business because you understand that you want to live in the best possible version of the community that you live in, and you believe that an informed, engaged community is a better one. And you know that you believe that your role is to help people stay informed, invite them to be engaged, and show them the result of both of those things. And so you asked if it keeps me up at night. Sure, it does. We've grown as an organization. We've been able to grow our revenues. We've been able to have, we think, solid impacts, like discernible impacts on our community through our journalism and through the services that we provide to small businesses. But I have 20 folks that work for me, and that's a lot of responsibility, because we have to make, you know, myself and our leadership team needs to make good decisions all of the time, because bad decisions blow back on the company. And so I think that that's not unique to us. I think that that's a very common feeling among almost all small business owners, you know.
And that leads me to my next question. I like to ask about what the pressures are to come. And I have a feeling, I want to ask a specific this time, though. I want to talk about AI a little bit. Sure. I know part of what you're doing is creating a startup for AI to help the news industry, the local news industry. I'm interested in where you see the pressures and the opportunities. AI is going to take some jobs. It's going to create some jobs. It sounds like you're going to kind of ride the wave in front and be a pioneer. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, our AI startup, Lead AI, LEDEAI.com, was founded back. We were very early in this. We were back in 2019. We founded the organization really as an experiment. And not to get too far down into the weeds, but it was using templated code to be able to pull data from high school sports results and write short briefs about those games that we would have never been able to send a reporter to. And so the idea was to just allow folks who wanted to know the result of the Upper Arlington versus Worthington game. We're not going to be able to tell you very much about it, but we can tell you who won.
And we can, write it in a way that it sounds like it's something readable, or engaged. Yeah.
And so we were very early in that. It's been, it's become a part of our company. We sell it to news organizations across the country. But you asked about the pressures of AI. It's going to be an enormously disruptive force in the news industry. It's going to be a disruptive force across America in all industries in general. But in the news industry, which I know the best, it's absolutely going to disrupt.
Disrupt in a good or a bad way, or both.
I'm confident it's going to have positive and negative consequences. And I think that some of those are unknown. The best quote that I've heard about AI in news right now, which is one that sort of calls out the danger, is that artificial intelligence drives the cost of producing BS to zero. So imagine that you had a manure factory and you could produce manure for nothing and at breathtaking scale.
And as much as you want.
And you could fling it all over the metaphorical Main Street. And that worked for you, but it was damaging to everybody else on Main Street. Used in a way that is, deployed in a way that is self-interested and mercenary, that's a plausible outcome for AI use in journalism. Mm-hmm. If you flip it and say, there's all kinds of, we talked about this earlier, there's all kinds of pieces of information that local newspapers used to produce that made them much more valuable to their community. Used to go to a local newspaper to know who got married, who got engaged, who died, who was born, who sold their house and for what, which restaurants were safe to eat in, which ones had sketchy health reports, which intersections were the most dangerous. Used to go to local newspapers and learn all of this kind of information about your community. It helped you lead a more informed life. It helped you navigate the weekend. It helped you understand what you wanted to do that day. It helped you stay connected to your neighbors. Over the years, almost all of those kinds of pieces of useful information are no longer in newspapers, and they're certainly not on radio stations or local television stations. That is because they're with shrinking staffs and competing priorities. Those newsrooms all over the country have just said, we're just not going to run birth reports anymore. Mm-hmm. We're just not going to do it. And we're not going to run property transfers, and we're not going to run marriage licenses, and we're not going to run this, and we're not going to run that, because we don't have enough advertising to support the print, the paper costs, and the ink costs to put those in the newspaper. So we have to shrink the newspaper, which makes it less valuable, which makes subscribers less likely to renew, and we all know what a death spiral looks like. We think that AI can allow small newsrooms to take that publicly available data that they can get from the health department, that they can pull from their county auditors. It's a different world now. And we can take that structured data and create English language, easily readable, digestible news articles that help people know that kind of useful information. It can increase the value of a local newsroom. And critically, most importantly of all, it frees reporters to do the reporting that only human beings can do. Nobody's going to help you understand what it means, what a decision at a county commissioner's meeting means, in a way that a local reporter can do.
That's right.
And that's really, I think, those are the two futures that the local news industry is in. The development of AI for news is inevitable. The question that this industry will ask, and communities need to help their newsrooms ask of themselves, is how are you going to deploy it? Development is inevitable. Deployment is in question, and deployment is the question right now.
And when I left radio, I kind of thought it was a lost cause, like you said, for local, like it just wasn't going to be around. You know, we don't deliver mail by pony anymore either. Like it just wasn't going to be. I saw the death of the yellow pages. I saw the almost death of newspaper. And I saw the rebirth, though, of what you did and what you're doing. You talk about the growth. And as we end up here, I'm interested. Do you feel proud of what you've been able to accomplish? Are you making a dent in it? Do you feel like your efforts are paying off and are worth it? I'll let you answer that. And then I want to talk about how people like me, businesses, very quickly, how they can get in touch with you and how they can help the cause in multiple ways.
Sure. Yes, that's an easy answer. I'm very proud of what we've accomplished over the last decade. In the midst of a reinventing, some would make a convincing argument, declining industry, we've been able to step into the gap in three counties in the middle of Ohio and create relationships with audiences that help them live a more informed life. I know that the last 10 years of my life and our staff's life has been well spent, and they're going to be able to look back on that and say, we fought a great fight and we delivered real value to people, and we helped people in many different ways. We made an impact on our community. We helped advertisers, we helped clients, we helped readers, we helped local governments. We created a better Mansfield, a better Ashland, a better Mount Vernon. So yeah, I am proud of the work that we're going to do. I'm proud of the work that we will do going forward. And the pressure will stay there. You know, I mean, the purpose will be there, the pressure will be there, and but honestly, I feel like I'm doing the work that I was meant to do, and I really enjoy being able to serve our community in this way.
How can businesses get involved, and how can we help you in some way? Maybe it's just sponsorship or whatever, but what are the different ways that we can do it, and how would we reach out to you to do that?
So if you're a business and you want to reach a local targeted audience, you have lots of different options. We are a fantastic option to help reach a targeted audience in Central Ohio, reaching well over 500,000 visitors every single month across three media platforms with multiple ways to do that. And the best way to do that is to just reach us at sales@sourcebrandsolutions.com, or you can email me at j@sourcebrandsolutions.com, and I will get you to the right people. And if you are an individual and you are passionate about local news and you read The Source or you read one of our local news sites and you want to support the work of our reporters, the easiest way to do that is to look at the top of the site and there's a red support button. Click on that support button and buy a membership. 100% of that membership goes directly and only to support the work of our reporters and editors. And so you can know that your annual membership or your monthly membership is truly going to support the reporting that you think is important to your community and you feel like you can get it at The Source. So those are the two ways for folks to get in touch with us and to support our work.
And I hope they will. Jay, you're doing great work. You're doing important work. I think about what my dad would say to me, and maybe what our listeners, folks, what would your parents say? There's no such thing as a free lunch. Mm-hmm. Like, if we want something bad enough and we need to have truth in our media, and if we can't control what Fox does, we can't control what CNN does. Okay, fine. They're going to do what they're going to do. We do have a say here. And God bless you for not giving up. That's what this show is all about. I mean, it's personified in you. You've got a purpose. You want to do this thing because it's important. But yet you're recreating a media in the face of free social media, in the face of dying print and changing landscapes and changing advertising options.
Yep.
God bless you for doing it. You're accomplishing something that you're just not going to quit on. And that's what this show is all about. And I thank you so much for it and for sharing that story here on the show.
No, we appreciate you very much. And thanks for having us.
Folks, that's Jay Allred. He is saving the democracy. And I don't think that's something
that
to be laughed about.
That might be a little
about.
Much, but I'll take it for now.
I think it's okay to say, because like that's the purpose, right? If you're not there, if you're not filling the void, well, that's what we're going to lose. So let's go ahead and say it. That's Jay. That's Jay Allred. He's the CEO of Source Media Properties. That's Richland Source. That's Ashland Source. That's Knox Pages. Also Source Brand Solutions, which is digital marketing. We didn't even get a chance to talk about that. It's far more than digital marketing, but ways for your business to stand out in many different ways. And Lead Artificial Intelligence, which is servicing the local news industry. I think I could talk to Jay for another hour. This is the amount of time we have now. Thank you very much, Jay, for being our guest on Purpose Under Pressure.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
Our show is brought to you by Sandler, by the Ruby Group. Sellers are under pressure to perform. Sandler helps you to succeed on purpose. You will find all past episodes of Purpose Under Pressure at brianmediastrategies.com/podcast. And wherever you stream your favorite shows, we do this every week. We'll do it again next time, and we'll see you then on Purpose.